Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Thirsty Thursday. Mean Streets here live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany hanging out with you. Thanks for taking the time to hang out with me. We are beginning week 10. We are beginning week 10 here with a barn burner, I'll tell you. Chicago and Carolina. It's not going to be the best football game here to watch, but we're going to talk about some props. We're going to have some start and some sits here with you guys. We'll answer any questions that you have as well as we get into week 10 already in the NFL. As we said on Monday, four teams on bye, three really good ones, and the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Dolphins. We have the Rams also on bye, and we're starting to hear a little bit when it comes to practice reports and things like that. Friday, always the big day. I always like to stress that Fridays are very, very important when it comes to some of these practice reports. Certain guys that are questionable, Drake London, Tyler Lockett, JSN. We just need to keep an eye on certain things. We know that Justin Fields isn't going to play tonight. And Khalil Herbert is not going to play tonight. Looks like DJ Chark is doubtful as well for this football game. If you are hanging out, smash the like button. If you're watching the replay, smash the like button. You have any questions, you can leave them there. Always circling back on these videos. So I know we've gone a little bit late here. I'd like to come at you guys a little bit earlier on Thursday. My apologies. Dangle Bet Sally went a little long without my co-host Eric Young. So I was a little bit behind here on my day, but it's okay. We're starting to get some news in here. Like if we went earlier, we wouldn't have heard about Khalil Herbert, which does put Deontay Foreman in play. I was really just thinking, all three of these Chicago Bears backs I would like to sit, even though the matchup is really good against Carolina. But now Deontay Foreman, for me, moving him up into the RB2 range. We haven't seen a whole lot from Rashawn Johnson. Last week didn't see really anything from him, and they've been leaning on Deontay Foreman. So feel a little bit better about him. And even if you're a Herbert owner, you know, you liked this matchup, but you know, another week for him potentially to get right, which is good for you, I think, in the long haul, even though this backfield may just turn out to be a full-on committee. Maybe Roshan is like the third option now, and Foreman is kind of splitting first and second down work with Khalil Herbert, because he's looked pretty decent filling in, and he has looked decent over the last 3 years filling in for some big running backs. So again, if you are watching the replay, leave the question there, circling back on these videos. If you're listening on iTunes and Spotify, you can always hop on over to our YouTube page and ask any question that you have. It could be any sport. I'm here to answer all of those. They're all happening here in the month of November, and we would appreciate it if you guys could rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or here on our YouTube page. At Chris Meany on X, Twitter.com, and MeanStreetsFTN @gmail.com if there is a question that you really, really need. Because I hear it all the time at this time of the season. It's a must-win situation, and I don't want to steer you in the wrong direction, but we will try to address those questions with some projections, consensus rankings over at FTNFantasy.com, and help you get into the playoffs, because you just need to get to the dance. You just need to punch a ticket and you're there. Let's talk about tonight. We'll get into some start and sits, and tomorrow we will have picks against the spread for the weekend and some NFL props, and we will again have some start and sit stuff for you guys. So tonight, here we go. Chicago and Carolina. George is going to tune in live, and he's going to put down all kinds of money on my props. And I have some overs like a true sucker here for this game, because it's a 38.5 total. Chicago minus 162 on the money line. Carolina plus 150 on the money line. DJ Moore facing his former squad here. These two teams are not impressive, right? You see Carolina 1-7, Chicago 2-7. Chicago actually they don't even have their first round pick, right? That's Carolina's. So, yeah, I mean, both of these teams are rebuilding. Carolina will not be in the quarterback sweepstakes for the first overall pick. Chicago, if they are, well, I don't know. That's a conversation for another day. We'll just forget that. But if Chicago continues to lose here, Justin Fields, I don't know if he's the future quarterback there for the Bears or whatnot. But we did see Chicago very aggressive, moving up. Well, Carolina really making that trade with DJ Moore. That dates back to last season. DJ Moore just hasn't been the same without Justin Fields. So unfortunately, no Fields here. You know what? I honestly wouldn't pick I wouldn't put my hard-earned bucks on either of these teams here to win. I'd say we probably get the the under. Chicago's been really good against the run, really, really good against the run this season. Actually, the best mark in football in terms of yards per carry allowed, 3.3. And we're not seeing anything on the ground from Chuba Hubbard over the past couple of weeks. Miles Sanders has been a disappointment ever since he suffered the injury. So I don't think that Carolina will have success moving the football. I don't think that they'll have a ton of success throwing the football with Bryce Young. There's just Adam Thielen's been the one consistent player inside this offense that has been good this season, but his catch prop is 6.5. Over at Bet365, I was thinking go to 6+ catches and 50+ receiving yards, but even that has a little bit of juice at -130. The Bears are sitting here at 3.5-point favorites. I don't know. Like, if you're going to ask me to pick a side, I may just lean with Carolina. I did pick Chicago over at FTN Fantasy. You know, we all make picks, money line picks, every single week. Myself and Jeff Ratcliffe, Tyler Lochner, Mike Randall, and Adam Pfeiffer. And I did pick the Bears to win the game on the money line. I think because they're at home, they can run on Carolina. I would lean with them. And Tyson Bagent actually showed me a couple things last week against the Saints. I thought he looked pretty good in a tough environment on the road, and the Saints pretty good defense. Carolina's been decent against the pass. It's just they haven't been able to stop the run all year. They're just among the leaders, second most fantasy points allowed to running backs, among the leaders in yards per attempt allowed, per carry. They're inside the top 10 as well. So Chicago could lean on the run game here with Deontay Foreman. And it's one guy that I don't have on the board because last night when I sent the picks to George, maybe last night or this morning, I just felt like Khalil Herbert was going to play in the game. So I was a little hesitant. And now we're seeing a bit of line movement with Deontay Foreman. And I do want to start there because of all the picks that I'm going to give you guys in a second, Foreman's not on the board and he just may be my favorite. So over 61.5 rushing yards over at Bet Rivers is -110. The over 15.5 rushing attempts +100. It's not too bad. And I would imagine this line moves just a little bit here with the news about Herbert. I don't know if it's officially, he's not officially ruled out of the game. He's questionable, but it looks like he's doubtful and like he's not going to play. So as for Foreman, the past couple of weeks of, you know, it was four games here now without Herbert, 15 for 65. So right at that number, 15 and 65 rushing yards. And that was against a tough run defense in Minnesota, but he still cleared the 61.5. And then against the Raiders, 16 for 89, had two rushing touchdowns. So again, top the 15.5 attempts and the 61 rushing yard prop that he has tonight. And then against the Chargers, 9 for 34, that game did get out of hand. They didn't run the football a lot there in that contest. And in the second half, we saw more Roshan and Evans got on the field a little bit there. But then last week against the Saints, a tough matchup, but a game where they were in it. They were very much in it. They started off with the lead. They were up by a touchdown. And they were in the game. I mean, they lost by 7 points, and they were in it the entire time. And Foreman had 20 carries for 83 rushing yards. So this is a game that I expect them to be in it. They're at home. They're 3.5-point favorites. The Panthers are not great either. So they could lean on Foreman here. So I'm going to start with Foreman over 61.5 rushing yards. And I do like that 15.5. I'm going to write that down. I surprisingly have way too many props for this football game tonight. And maybe proceed with caution. All right, there's 11 games in the NHL. It's a good NHL night here. Dangle Bet Selly, we gave a ton of picks, some goal scorers, got the free FTM Bets article over at FTMbets.com, of course. NHL picks, if you want to try to win some cash here, like, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, we all love football. I love watching Thursday night football. Thirsty Thursday, have a couple tasty beverages and watch football. I'm here for it, right? I'm going to be making these bets myself, but I may have an issue or two. And I think you guys are well aware of that. You've been hanging out with me for a couple of years. And I appreciate the support. And I'm going to bet these myself. I'm not just giving them for the sake of giving them, right? I think last Thursday we gave maybe 2-3 picks, right? We just focusing on Deontay Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins. But for here, starting with Foreman, rushing yards, I think he's going to have 16, 17 attempts in this game. And I think he's going to go over the 61.5 rushing yards. So I like the rushing yard prop more. Then I like the attempt. Once it's official that Herbert is out of this football game, those numbers are going to change here just a little bit. Start Deontay Foreman or James Conner? I would start Deontay Foreman. Blurpy in the house with the question. That is the way that I would go. I like James Conner. it sounds like he is definitely going to play this week. Love seeing Kyler come back this week as well. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Limited in practice this week, so nothing is concrete, but the Falcons have been good against running backs. They've allowed the fifth fewest fantasy points to the running back position. Connor, not super efficient, but the touches, once we see Connor, like I think in game number two, like that's a guy where, you know, against the Texans in week 11, man, some nice matchups coming up for him as well. Probably maybe could buy low on him somewhere. But just know that the ceiling isn't top 15 running back. But I would just go with Foreman. I like the matchup. You know, he's healthy at the moment. There could be a setback for Connor. Maybe we hear Friday, all of a sudden he doesn't play, just like we're hearing about Herbert. It sounded like on Monday. And we got together with Jake yesterday. We talked about this backfield and all in football. We talked about Herbert. I had Herbert one or two spots ahead of Foreman. Jake still had Foreman. But now when you eliminate Foreman out of the picture or Herbert out of the picture, and plus within 24 hours, we've just heard that he's doubtful. So we could hear something about Connor. Let's just take Foreman and take those points. Any other questions you guys get to, we'll address them here on this show. But I want to get back into the props. Say what up to a few of the people here. Kyle Woods, he's fired up for some Thursday night football. LFGTNF, 3 exclamation marks. Thoughts on Chicago DST tonight. Seattle has burned me too many times. Negative points last week. I actually like the Seahawks this week. You know, they can get after the quarterback. I think they're top 7 in sacks. You know, Howell's been sacked 44 times. Seattle's a tough spot to go play football. I would play Seattle, honestly, ahead of Chicago. I know that the Bears, you know, can stop the run. It's a rookie quarterback. I would still roll with Seattle, dude, but, you know, that's your call if you've just been, you know, burned by them a little bit. Chicago got a good run stuff defense. Mr. Nice Guy in the house here, but they were exposed in the secondary. I think Thielen might pop off. Yeah, I mean, Thielen, I don't have his props here on the board that I'm going to show you in a second, but the 6.5 catches and the 60-some-odd yards, I would lean to the over on both of those. I mean, we have him projected for 10.3 targets, 6.3 grabs, and 66.3 receiving yards. So I don't see a massive edge in the prop world. As I mentioned, 6+ catches and 50+ receiving yards over at Bet365 is around minus 130. That one's okay. I don't mind taking that. Maybe you pair it up with the DJ Moore 4+ catches and 50+ receiving yards, and you get plus money on both of those guys. They're the two best players inside of this game. And even though DJ Moore hasn't been the same without Justin Fields, and we can just forget about the revenge narrative and just for a second, but the ceiling is still high there for DJ Moore. It's one of the leaders in yards per catch. So he could kind of get there on like one or two catches where Adam Thielen may need 5 or 6, but the targets are just, they're just there for him. So you can't ignore it. I agree. Good run defense. Not crazy about Chuba Hubbard. I would try to find another option for Chuba. And last week we saw a little bit of Miles Sanders on the field catching some passes. So this is what I have. And again, surprisingly, I have a lot. So a couple people just jumping in here now. Deontay Foreman is not on the board. He's not on the list, but I do like Deontay Foreman at over 61.5 rushing yards. I like DJ Moore. This is from Bet365, 50+ receiving yards at minus 130. Hayden Hurst at over 12.5 receiving yards, minus 120. This is where you may think that I'm drinking already here on the Thirsty Thursday. I put this one in actually yesterday at roughly 6 Eastern. So Hurst, he's cleared this number in 3 of the last 4 games and 5 of his 8 games. He has a decent 10.6 yards per catch number on the season. So one or two catches here, we could get this number. A tight end has topped this number, the 12.5 receiving yards, in every game against Chicago besides week 4 against the Broncos. And they just don't have a tight end that really even runs routes or gets targets. Chicago has allowed 51.3 yards per game to tight ends and the most catches per game to the position at 6.1. So I get it. It's Hurst here. And you're like, no, I don't want to. You look at the back of the football card and you're like, why would I do this? Are you just giving it to me because it's Thursday night football? 2 weeks ago against the Texans, he had 2 targets and 0 catches. But last week he hauled in 2 of the 4 targets for 54 grabs I'll just go back to the tight ends here for a second. And Chicago has allowed the seventh most fantasy points to the position. I'm not saying to start Hayden Hurst in two tight end leagues. You might have to. I'm in one of those. And he is in consideration for me. But I just look at some of the tight ends here so far this season against the Chicago Bears. So Luke Musgrave, 3 for 50. Kate Otten, 6 for 41. Travis Kelce, we know that he's a stud. 7 for 69 and had the touchdown. Then this was week 4. It was Nate Adkins, had 8 yards on 2 catches. Let's just forget about that, right? Don't even know who that guy is, right? Logan Thomas, 9 catches, 77 yards and a touchdown. That was week 5. TJ Hockenson, 6 for 50. So some of these tight ends are pretty good. I get it. Hockenson and Kelce. Austin Hooper, 2 for 18, only 2 catches, but 18 receiving yards. Parham, 4 for 43 and a touchdown. And then last week, Juwan Johnson, 5 catches, 29 yards and a touchdown. So 4 touchdowns to the position. If you're looking for a sneaky little play here, a long shot, Hayden Hurst, but ultimately I do like the receiving yard prop there at 12.5 minus 120. Cole Kmet over 34.5 receiving yards minus 110. What I will say, it's like the complete opposite here for Cole Kmet in terms of the matchups, right? The Bears struggle against tight ends, and the Carolina Panthers have actually done a pretty good job at eliminating fantasy points to the tight end position. They've actually allowed the third fewest fantasy points to tight ends so far this season, but I just can't ignore the usage that I've seen at the tight end position here for Cole Kmet, especially over the past couple of weeks. For example, the last 2 games, 2 touchdowns, 18 targets, 16 catches, and 134 yards. 18 targets over the last 2 games for Cole Kmet, 16 grabs. That's significant. That volume, to me, I just can't ignore it. You know, I clearly think that DJ Moore should be the guy, but Cole Kmet is getting leaned on here by inexperienced, undrafted free agent quarterback in Tyson Bagent. So Bagent giving Cole Kmet that amount of volume makes me think that he can get to the 34.5. His catch prop is like 3.5, but it's juiced, significantly juiced. So I'm not going to get involved with that. It takes 1 or 2 grabs here. He's been leaned on in the red zone. We saw the 2 touchdowns last week in a tough spot against the Saints. The Saints are also a good defense against tight ends. One of the best over the last few years at the position. It was a bottom seven matchup for Cole Kmet last week. And he had the 6 grabs for 55 and the 2 touchdowns there. Ultimately, like 34.5 is a number that he's cleared a few times. He's cleared it in 4 of his last 6 football games. Against the Raiders, it was a big donut. Against the Vikings, it was 2 for 9. But the last couple of weeks, the volume has been there. And another thing that I've noticed is Darnell Mooney. So I don't think that Bajan's going to have a big game. Like his passing yard prop is around 191. Probably lean to the under on that one because they're going to run the football with Foreman. And that may seem weird for me to say just because I have DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and Darnell Mooney on this list, but just talked about the usage and the volume and the inexperienced play and leaning on the biggest body that the Bears have in Cole Kmet. And George putting him on the board there for us, but no jinxing him tonight. And as for Mooney, the last 3 games, like I just feel like this number is too low. 27.5 receiving yards is too low. Our projections have Darnell Mooney for, let's see here, 36.5 receiving yards. And Darnell Mooney over the last couple of games has just got my attention. 82 receiving yards, 41, 32, and 48 over his last 4. He's quietly racked up 10 grabs over his last 3 football games. So yeah, I like Moore. Takes a couple catches to get to the 50 yards. I'm not diving in on the catches for Darnell Mooney, but what I have noticed is a couple screen passes for him. I'm trying to get the ball in his hands and make life easy for the quarterback. I've seen a couple screen passes, and he does have a high A dot. So last week, 6 targets, 5 grabs, and 82 receiving yards. Just the 1 catch against the Chargers in week 8, but it was for 41 yards. Against the Raiders, he had 5 targets, 4 grabs, and 32 yards. And then against the Vikings, 3 targets, 2 grabs, and 48 receiving yards. In fact, every time he's had a catch, he's top 28 receiving yards. Week 1, 4 for 53. Nothing in week 2, nothing in week 3. Week 4, 4 for 51. Nothing in week 5. but the last 4 weeks, at least one catch and at least 32 receiving yards. It's not bad. It's just a very, very low number. And again, an inexperienced quarterback here. And then we got Miles Sanders on the board at over 10.5 receiving yards. This one may feel like a fade for some people. I have these ranked kind of in order of how I like them. Foreman would be on the top of the list here with the rushing yard prop. But Miles Sanders, what I noticed in the first few games of the season for Miles Sanders is that he was getting used as a bell cow running back. He had week one, 6 targets, 4 grabs, 26 receiving yards. Week two, 3 grabs, only 4 receiving yards, but had 5 targets. Week three, he had 9 targets, 5 grabs, and 38 receiving yards. That one was with Andy Dalton. But week four, he had 3 grabs for 13 receiving yards. Then he got hurt. He didn't play in week 6. He hardly played in week 8. And last week, we saw Chuba Hubbard lead, but we saw a little bit more of Miles Sanders in the later part of that football game. 6 for 39. The attempts and the rushing yards, but he had 5 targets, 3 grabs, and 22 receiving yards. I believe I saw Randall write up Chuba Hubbard and his receiving yard prop, which I would lean to the over on that one too. The last couple of weeks, he has 6 grabs, but he only had 9 receiving yards. I think that Miles Sanders is going to get a little bit more run here. Not to the fact where we're going to play him. We're going to play Miles Sanders in fantasy. I'd rather not play Chuba Hubbard, but I'm going to take the over on the receiving yards there. It just takes a catch or two. It could come late in the fourth quarter, in the second half again. It could come early. If Chuba Hubbard continues to be inefficient, we could see this turn into a bit of a timeshare, and we're seeing both of these guys. I want to share the projections that I have for Carolina here. And if you guys have any questions, like, for example, DJ Moore, we have for 4 catches and 58 receiving yards. It's not fantastic. You know, I have to start this guy, but he's outside the top 24 at the wide receiver position. I'm playing him based on pure upside alone. And my other options are not fantastic, with like Christian Watson and George Pickens. I just not really feeling him at the moment either. But what do we have here for Miles Sanders? We have for 10 receiving yards. So it's kind of right at this number. And we have Chuba Hubbard for 14.5 receiving yards. But I just have this is, I mean, call it a gut thing. It may just be a hunch, but it's the first few weeks, the targets that he had in the first few weeks, and then what I saw last week in the second half of the game. And I do believe he lost his job because he wasn't healthy. It's not like Chuba Hubbard is blowing anybody away here with some of the rushing yards that he has. You can't be impressed with 15 for 28 and 16 for 58, 19 for 88 against Miami. That was good. And that's kind of when he was named starter after the bye. But the 15 for 28, 16 for 58 last couple of weeks, and I know it seems like it's a good matchup. It's a plus, like Yahoo showing the green next to Chicago, but 3.3 yards per carry. This team has allowed a lot of, they've allowed a few rushing touchdowns. It's really because of how bad the secondary is. All right, so 23 minutes on 6 props from a game that has a 38.5 total. What's wrong with me? Let's get back to some questions. We have a good one here. Oh, an under on Terrace Marshall. You know what? I thought about this one for a little bit. The reason I didn't come in with it is not because I have anything against unders. I actually like this call, Mikey Boy G. And for those listening on iTunes here and Spotify, he says, "Hey, sir, what do you think of Terrace Marshall under 26.5 receiving yards, 5 targets in the last 4 games for 9 yards?" I like it. And I also like the under 2.5, which was -130, I think. The only reason I had the pause is because of DJ Chark. And even still, with DJ Chark doubtful in this game and not going to play, I still like this. Everything is kind of run through Adam Thielen. It could feel better about Hayden Hurst with the over on the receiving yards with no DJ Chark. But it goes back quite a bit, actually, with Terrace Marshall when I was looking at it. I mean, you gave some of the numbers there as well. But even if you just want to look at since week 5, I mean, week 5 was just nothing. Week 6, 3 targets and nothing. Then week 8, the 1 target, 1 catch for 9 receiving yards, and then 1 target just last week and nothing there. Week 1, he only had 23 receiving yards. Week 2 was a 0 as well. So he's had 2 good games this season where he racked up 18 targets, 14 grabs, and roughly 90 receiving yards. But one of those games was with Andy Dalton. And I think that's important. You know, Bryce Young has done some good things, but I haven't been really impressed with his game overall. So I don't mind this one. I think it's a good call. We're looking for some unders here today. and the number has moved. You know, 24.5 at FanDuel, 26.5 at Caesars. I am seeing under 27.5 at -130 over at Bet365. And like I said, I like the under on the catches as well at -130, under 3 grabs for Terrace Marshall Jr. Not a lot of run, but again, something to keep in mind. No DJ Chark tonight, but I guess that can make us feel a little bit better about Hayden Hurst. As much as you can. Daily Handle with Jordan Allen. Good afternoon, Means, and everybody. Welcome in, a good sir. What else do we have here? Lou Testa. I have a drafter's best ball team in the top 400 of 85K, relying on Mac Jones to keep me in the race with Tua on bye and Stafford out. Over under 10 fantasy points. I would say over 10 fantasy points. It's game against the Colts. The Colts have allowed a lot here. Just to go to my notes, the Colts have allowed the seventh most yards per game, the 10th most passing yards per game. They can't stop the run. They've allowed the ninth most rushing yards per game. They've allowed the ninth most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. They've allowed the fourth most fantasy points to running backs. And I'm not crazy about Mac Jones either and this Patriots offense, but they may be able to score 2 or 3 touchdowns. Maybe Mac Jones can hit Hunter Henry, Ramondre Stevenson, we're going to give a little bit of love to, having some catches out of the backfield and receiving yards as well. So I would say you get over 10. Well, let's give the projections on Mac Jones. Maybe put your mind at ease here, Lou Testa, and good luck. You know, top 485K. I like that. I like that a lot. What do we have Mac Jones here for? Oof, got to keep scrolling is never a good thing. 14.2 fantasy points. We have him for 216 passing yards and 1.3 touchdowns, 1.3 passing touchdowns, and a projected pick in there at 0.9. Probably going to throw one. You should be fine to get by with the over 10 fantasy points. Be all right. One thing I noticed, and I'm not there, but Juju was limited last week, didn't play a lot of snaps. I think he played 4 or 5 snaps in the first half, but he did finish it with 6 grabs and 51 receiving yards. Juju's been a non-factor all year. Been pretty hard on Juju before the season started as a fade and just sitting this guy and dropping him. But if you're in a pinch in a full-point PPR league, you'd be all right there. But I still like DeMario, but he's questionable. So he was limited this week, and last week we talked about his receiving yard prop. Back-to-back games with 5 grabs, and he's had at least 54 receiving yards in 2 of the last 3. So he's got a couple weapons there, but not a whole lot. Jalen Reich, right? He's out there 90% of the snaps. Can't get it done. Hey there, would you start Trevor Lawrence or Sam Howell? This is a really good question. I honestly would start Trevor Lawrence, but our projections and our rankings have Sam Howell. Actually, they don't. Yeah. Jeff updated these. I know it's a really tough matchup against the 49ers, but I think it's a tough matchup for Sam Howell as well against the Seattle Seahawks. I know Jake really likes Sam Howell, and Sam Howell is a top 5 quarterback. He's thrown the football a lot, but I do like Trevor Lawrence here. I think the ceiling is higher, and you know, they're coming off the bye. It is the Niners, I get it, but you know, this Niners defense hasn't been fantastic over the past couple of weeks. You know, they've given up some yardage. I like Christian Kirk this week. I would start Trevor Lawrence, man. I really would. I would take the ceiling in Trevor Lawrence, and I have some numbers here about why I think Sam Howell is a bit of a sit this week. And Sam Howell, what I will say about Seattle, and we know it's a tough environment, right, to go in and play a football game. But also top 10 in fewest yards allowed to quarterbacks. The Seahawks, 6.1 yards per attempt over the last month of the season. It's the third best mark in football. And they have 27 sacks, the Seahawks, which is tied for the 7th most. And Howell's been sacked 44 times. The next closest guy is Zach Wilson, 13 fewer. So I would take Trevor Lawrence. I'm starting him in a couple of spots as well. And hopefully he can build off the last time that we saw him, because the last time we saw Trevor Lawrence, he had the past 3 games have been a little bit better for him. It was slow moving. Only has 2 games and 2 passing touchdowns, but 292 passing yards. It was the second most that he tossed. It was against a tough Steelers defense as well. So I would lean with him, and he's running around a little bit. Mike Omelon in the house. Let me guess, Taysom Hill. Hey, Chris, great show as always. I appreciate you. Got to get you on. Bring your trumpet. We'll have a little show here. Hawkinson or Taysom Hill? Tough matchup for Hawkinson this week. More Taysom Hill, all right? More Taysom Hill. I'm always going to lean with And we said this last week with Taysom Hill. I'm always going to lean with the pass, the elite pass catching tight ends. And it's this week, these are the guys that would play over Taysom Hill. Sam Laporta, Mark Andrews, Dalton Kincaid, TJ Hockenson, George Kittle. And then that's it. Jake Ferguson after for me, Evan Engram after, Dalton Schultz after, of course, Cole Kmet. I mean, Taysom Hill is the numbers are there. He's producing, he's getting fantasy points, but I just have a hard time every week just banking on the rushing touchdown. Now it has come, right? I mean, 3 weeks in a row, this guy's found the end zone. Three rushing touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. He caught a pass, he threw a pass. But I think you would never sell him, but he's a sell high candidate. I think he's a sell high candidate. He could easily go back into the how he started the season with like 0.482228. But against the Vikings, the thing is he probably finds the end zone. He probably has a rushing touchdown at the tight end position. That's all you can really ask for. But TJ Hockenson is he's a beast. And you're just saying it's a tough matchup against the Saints. We saw Cole Kmet last week against the Saints have two touchdowns and he popped off against them. So 12 targets and 7 grabs. It's the volume that I can't ignore from some of these other tight ends like Kincaid and Andrews and Laporta and Hockenson. Because he's got 80 targets and 60 grabs. And I think Joshua Dobbs, I loved seeing Dobbs give him 12 targets last week. 12 targets, 7 grabs. So you got to go all the way back to week 4 to see a game where he had fewer than 8 targets. You have to go all the way back to week 4 to see a game where he had fewer than 50 receiving yards. So I would lean with Hockenson there, Mikey, oh baby. And our projections are like this at the tight end position. Laporta 1, Andrews 1, Kincaid 3, Hockenson 4, Kittle 5, Engram 6, Schultz 7, Ferguson 8, McBride 9, and Taysom Hill at 10, at 10.1 fantasy points or 8.1 fantasy points. What we have here for Taysom Hill is 4.6 rushing attempts, 31 rushing yards, and we have him for 1.6 catches and 13.2 receiving yards. But again, he can throw a touchdown pass. He's a weapon. He is a weapon. I don't want to call him Shohei Ohtani because I know your mind will just go, Chris said it, Shohei Ohtani. Taysom Hill is Shohei Ohtani. But at the end of the day, he is playing. He's a weapon. And if I were the Saints, every time I got inside the 5 or the 10, I would use him. I like Kamara. Jamal Williams is like, you know, bye-bye, wave goodbye to him, put him on the waiver wire. But he's such a... And we've been taking his rushing yard prop the past couple weeks as well. It just... He's a weapon, and they're going to use him inside the goal line, inside the red zone, and that's very valuable. But some of these guys are just going to get more targets. I would play him over Ferguson and McBride. And Schultz is coming off the big week. I would lean, yeah, to over Engram and Schultz with Taysom Hill, but I'm not playing over TJ. Come on, you're nuts. Deesh, half PPR, Jalen Warren, a good bye week fill in this week. Could get Singletary, Dylan, or Gibson, but Jalen feels like the rare safer option with the high ceiling. I would agree. Singletary, is Pierce ruled out as of just yet? But the Singletary is just not good, right? You're looking for a high ceiling. Singletary last week, 13 for 26. You just can't get excited about this. I mean, D'Amico Ryans calls him a motor. The motor's trash. That's rude. It's rude. I like Singletary, but the offensive line is not good, and they're throwing the football. The Texans are number 3 in pass DVOA. They are chucking the ball. They're throwing it basically more than anybody here over the last few weeks. A lot of pass attempts for CJ Stroud, and I'm just I don't think you can do it. You know what you're going to get, unfortunately, with Singletary, and he's yet to top 9 fantasy points in a half point segment. He's not even catching pass, like two catches last week for 0 yards, 1 catch for 4, 2 for 4. He's just not getting it done. And I don't even care if Pierce is out. He is questionable, and he didn't practice as of today. So it looks like he's turning the wrong direction. I'm going to give Najee Harris a little bit of love here, Deesh, mostly because of the matchup. But I do like Warren as a bye week replacement here. And the same thing with with Gibson. You're just hoping for a couple catches. You know, he's not running. He's not the goal line back there. And Dylan kind of same sort of deal. I do like the matchup for Dylan, but It's Aaron Jones kind of got the training wheels came off from last week, you know, not 100%. But Jalen Warren is, you know, 11 for 88. The 88 rushing yards, a season high. The carries, 11. He's always been a player in the receiving game. He has at least three catches in every game this season, but one. The receiving yards and targets haven't been as high as early on in the season, but that was when Deontay Johnson was sidelined. So we did see a lot of work from him early on in the season in terms of receiving yards. But I would say that he probably gets 10 opportunities, another eight carries or so, and three more grabs. And I don't think that we'll see Gibson or Dylan touch the ball that much, and Singletary's just not going to do a whole lot there in that matchup this week. What did AJ Dillon do last week? 9 for 40. It's let's go Warren. Do Warren and go that way. Any other comments, any other questions here? I got some starter sits. Let's start here with, and I'm breaking news with some of these starts, but I know people like to see them, and these are people that players that I like their matchups. I have some pretty significant names that I would sit in a couple minutes. We'll get to those ones. So here we go. Week 10 players that I would start. And this is what I'm talking about. Not breaking any news here with Jared Goff, but in a dome this season, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 8.1 yards per pass attempt, a 72% completion rate on the road. And I know this one is on the road, but he is in a dome against the Chargers, who've allowed the most passing yards per game this season. But on the road, 4 passing touchdowns, 2 picks. It's outside of a dome, 6.9 yards per attempt and 65% completion rate. Last year at home in a dome, 23 touchdowns, 3 picks, 7.7 yards per attempt, 66% completion rate. On the road last year, 6 touchdowns and 4 picks and just the 64% completion rate. Unbelievable home and away splits, 23-3. Touchdown interception ratio compared to 6-4 on the road. And again, on the road, Detroit fans are going to travel well. Chargers fans are going to get drowned out by the noise that the Lions are going to bring. And I love Detroit -2.5. I think they go in and rock LA's world. Let's dig a little bit deeper here at the quarterback position with Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes and Tua on bye this week. You could need a quarterback replacement. Geno Smith has not shown us a high ceiling this season. He hasn't been all that great after he was really good last year, but this is a good spot against Washington. They've allowed the 4th most yards per game this season, the 3rd most fantasy points to quarterbacks, and the 3rd most fantasy points per game to just overall, actually, the 3rd most points per game overall. So 3rd most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, the 3rd most points per game, the 4th most yards allowed per game, and they are 4th worst in pass DVOA, according to FTNBets.com. And as you see on the board, a Mr. Tyler Lockett, who's been inconsistent this season, dealing with an injury. Keep an eye on his practice reports on Friday and keep an eye on JSN as well. But I like the quarterback play in Geno Smith. So I like Tyler Lockett because Washington has allowed the 3rd most fantasy points to wide receivers, the 2nd most passing touchdowns on the season. Emmanuel Forbes, who will line up with Tyler Lockett, according to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, has allowed a league high 2.53 yards per route run covered. The next closest on the slate is Daryl Baker Jr. at 1.73 yards per route run covered, but he's going to see Jalen Reagor, who's just out there running around. What are you doing? Huh? Who, me? Nothing. Just hanging around. Jalen Warger. Reagor. Anyways, Tyler Lockett and Geno Smith there. If Geno Smith is already taken, maybe take a look at Baker Mayfield this week against the Tennessee Titans. This is a good spot for Baker Mayfield to rack up maybe a couple touchdowns. The Titans inside the top 10 in quarterback completion percentage against. They have allowed the 9th most fantasy points to wide receivers. Evans and Godwin are good enough to make Baker Mayfield a top 14-15 quarterback this week against the Titans. I also have Rashad White on this list. I had Rashad White on the list last week as a start, and he had a great game. He hasn't been efficient this week, but he's getting all of the snaps and all of the touches, all of the carries out of the backfield, all of the red zone work as well. The biggest thing for Rashad White, and he may struggle running the ball against the Titans, who have a decent run defense, and we just talked about the struggles they have through the year. But the biggest thing for Rashad White, for me, a guy who had 50 catches last year as a rookie is well on his way again. He has 3+ catches in 7 straight games. The last 4 weeks since the bye, he has 21 targets, 20 grabs, and 193 receiving yards. So he's racked up nearly 200 receiving yards over his last 4 weeks, and he hauls in basically everything thrown his way. So I am big on Baker Mayfield and the Bucs offense here. And even though it does seem like a tough matchup for Rashad White and he hasn't been super efficient, I would play him 100% in a PPR league and in a half point setting. He's a top 20 running back for me with upside to be a top 15 running back this week. Dave Montgomery practiced in full this week. It sounds like he is going to return. You just play him. He's an RB2 this week. I have him ranked ahead of Jahmyr Gibbs, which Jahmyr Gibbs is a low end RB2 as well. I think we'll see both of these guys. It'll probably be closer to a 50-50 split the last time Montgomery missed a game and came back. But keep in mind, the last time Montgomery returned from an injury, he racked up 32 carries, 121 rushing yards, and 3 rushing touchdowns. The Chargers' rush defense has been a lot better, but they're among the leaders in yards per attempt allowed and the quarterback completion percentage against as well. And I just think Detroit's going to go in and score like 24, 28 points. So the goal line work is going to go to Dave Montgomery. It's not going to go to Jahmyr Gibbs. You hope as a Gibbs owner, he continues to get some catches out of the backfield and he ends up with like 12 to 13 opportunities here. But I would say Montgomery has more carries and he's going to get that goal line work. How about Bijan Robinson? How about Bijan Robinson having 1 carry inside the 5 this season and Andrew Beck having 3 carries? Dude's a tight end for the Denver Broncos. What is happening? The usage with Bijan Robinson is blowing my mind. Arthur Smith, I think he hears the noise. And this matchup against Arizona, this could be the breakout campaign for Bijan Robinson, who, by the way, only has 1 rushing touchdown, 2 catches for 8 yards in his last 3 games, 1 game this season with more than 14 carries, and it came in week 2. Are we ready to admit that Bijan Robinson is a bust? Well, let's see if he can have an RB1 type game this week against Arizona. Top 10 in yards allowed, top 10 in rushing yards allowed, 4th in yards per attempt allowed, 3rd in fantasy points allowed to running backs. They've coughed up 12 rushing touchdowns, which is 3 off the league high, and they are 29th in rush DVOA defense. This does seem like a breakout campaign for Bijan Robinson. But by the way, Tyler Allgeier last week, 3 carries inside the 5, -1 yards on those 3 carries. It is time, Arthur Smith, to unleash Bijan Robinson. Let's not forget you drafted him in the first round. Whether that was a GM thing or your thing or not, he's the best back on your squad. Come on, enough of this nonsense. Give your head a shake, pal. Pick a couple more bats. Ramondre Stevenson against the Colts, splitting time with Zeke. Double-digit fantasy points, though, in 3 of his last 4 games. 22 targets and 17 catches over his last 4 matchups. The Colts, the most rushing touchdowns allowed this season. Top 10 in yards, rushing yards allowed, and the 4th most fantasy points to running backs. I know a lot of people are sour on Ramondre Stevenson, so I just wanted to give him a little bit of love. What's Najee Harris doing on the start list? I don't think I've ever put him on the start list. Is this a typo, George? Did you just do this yourself? I put him in. He's got touchdowns in 2 of his last 3 games. He's got double-digit fantasy points in 3 of the last 5 games. He's got 10 catches over the last 3 games. The Packers top 10 in rushing yards allowed. Najee Harris won't be super efficient, but he is getting more carries than Warren, and he is getting the goal line work. And I like the Steelers to stuff Jordan Love, and this Packers squad is just absolutely brutal on offense. And I think Najee will be set up to have himself a rushing touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins on this list. This one's kind of obvious. Tampa allowing the most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, the 2nd most fantasy points per game to wide receivers, 2nd most yards per game overall, and the 4th most passing yards. 17 targets in 2 games with Will Levis. 3 touchdowns, 190 yards. I also think Kyle Phillips is sneaky. I'm going to be looking at his receiving yard prop tomorrow, and I may even start him over Christian Watson. That's where I'm at with C. Watson. Deontay Johnson has a red mark next to his projections, and I see Pickens ranked higher with more fantasy points projected for him. I just think that's a mistake. Pickens, I would not start, and Deontay Johnson, I would start. In 3 games since he returned to the lineup, he's racked up 29 targets, 20 grabs, and he's had 79 plus receiving yards in each one of those games. Pickens, meanwhile, 3 grabs for 21 yards in his last 2 games and -1 yard last week. According to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, this is the 4th best matchup on the slate against Darrington Valentine. 1.3 yards per route run covered, top 15 mark in all of football this week. And again, that matchup is an A+1 for us. Our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. Sorry, it's Carrington Valentine. I knew I mixed that one up. Yes, out of all of the corners and the wide receivers in our matchup tool, the number one matchup is CeeDee Lamb, of course. Of course, it can't be stopped. It's 100% grade. Ratcliffe doesn't give those ones out too often. DeAndre Hopkins is number two against Jameel Dean. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown against Shaheer Taylor at number three. And then number four is Deontay Johnson against Carrington Valentine. 1.3 yards per route run covered. It's the top 15 in terms of that statistic alone. But overall, the matchup is the fourth best, according to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. Marquise Brown, I'm not crazy about Kyler. We'll get into him a little bit. But 77 targets, 7+ in every game minus week one. Kyler's his guy, right? These guys go back to Oklahoma. They had a nice rapport at the start of last season when DeAndre Hopkins was suspended. So I would play Hollywood Brown as basically the only Falcon or Cardinal, excuse me, that I would play this week. Christian Kirk's on the list. Jake Ferguson and Trey McBride. Same sort of deal kind of here with McBride and Hollywood. The targets should be there. The usage should be there. The matchup is just okay. But based on pure volume alone, 5+ targets in 4 straight games, 19 in his last 2 games, I would say that he does enough to be a top 14, 15 tight end this week with upside to be a top 12 tight end. As for Ferguson, he was a start for us last week. We crushed his receptions, receiving yard prop. We had him to score a touchdown. He's got TDs in back-to-back games, 14 targets and 11 grabs over his last 2. The volume may not be there. I don't expect Dak to chuck it 44 times again, and I don't expect like 10 targets for Jake Ferguson. But I do expect Jake Ferguson to probably rack up about 50 receiving yards and maybe find a touchdown there. We got a few more comments and questions. So as I said, okay, you got the question here on Lockett. So I got you. Lockett is dealing with the injury. Certainly keep in practice reports, big day tomorrow. JSN also dealing with an injury. If Lockett can't go, JSN is an automatic start. We're starting DK anyways. If Lockett and JSN can't go, I would pump the brakes on Geno. Just talk about him as a start. I would pump the brakes on Geno, and I would look for another quarterback. Maybe that's Baker. Maybe that's Will Levis against the Bucs. We just saw the Bucs give up a ton of yards against CJ Stroud and couldn't stop him at all with the game on the line down the stretch. So your question here is, can you help me pick two to start? Lockett, Dell, Dotson, and Curtis Samuel. I would go with Dell and Dotson in that spot. Dotson, I do have respect for Seattle and their pass defense. And, you know, we talked about them earlier and like 6.1 yards per pass attempt allowed over the last 4 weeks. Only the Jets and the Ravens have been better. And we saw last week, really, like Baltimore won that game handedly, but Zay Flowers didn't do a whole lot. Lamar didn't do a whole lot. So I would just lean Dotson over Curtis Samuel. I think there's a higher ceiling with Dotson. I don't know, is Curtis Samuel practicing in full? Is he back yet? But Dotson, he's got a couple decent games in a row. I believe back-to-back games with a touchdown. And I'm just not sending Dell. You know, I'm just CJ Stroud and the pass, the usage, RGQ, the pass attempts have been significant for Sam Howell. It has been for Sam Howell, but for CJ Stroud. So I would play Dell and Dotson. And tomorrow, I think you'll hear a little bit more. Yeah, and you know what? Dotson, we've talked about, we really liked him on this show. It's looking like a big loser call by me. But maybe here in the second half, he can turn things around and end up finishing as a wide receiver 3, which is where we liked him come draft day. And I understand why people may have dropped him, and I've held on where I could, and I just haven't been starting him. But the last couple weeks have been good, and he's just a really good wide receiver anyways. I just don't understand why he wasn't getting some of those targets from Howell, but that's where I'm at. Expecting a high scoring game here. Is Sports Hulk in the house? Maybe 39-35 score? What are you on, bats? Bryce Young will go off for 350 passing yards? Holy crap, Sports Hulk is drinking the bats here on a thirsty Thursday. Oh baby, 39-35. I love it. I hope it happens. I hope you're right. I don't know if you're being sarcastic. I don't know if you're just a big Carolina Bryce Young fan, but I'm here for it, man. I would be absolutely shocked if we saw nearly 80 points in this football game tonight. The total is not even 39, but I'm here for it. And I know that we're laughing together. Don't take anything that I say seriously ever, right? We're just trying to have some fun in this show. I don't think I've seen you pop in here, Sports Hulk. So we have some fun on, you know, when I get picks wrong, I'm drinking the Bats, Thirsty Thursdays, Labatt Blue, one of the worst beers ever. But here north of the border, not even really popular, to be honest with you.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
I know you were joking there, but honestly, if we get a 39-35 game, we're going to hit all of these props. Oh, baby, let's go. We got Foreman over 61.5 rushing yards. It's not on the board. DJ Moore with 50 receiving yards, 50 plus. It's over at Bet365. Hayden Hurst at 12.5. I went back around the, I think, 10-minute mark, and I gave really a lot of analysis behind these picks that may seem crazy to you in what actually may be correct here in Lansing. JP in the house, a 16-12 Bears win tonight. That's probably more likely to happen, but Komet over 34.5 receiving yards, all the usage that he's had. Darnell Mooney, every time he catches a pass, he tops this number. Just look at the back of the football card, and I've seen some usage from him, using him in different ways and screens and things. Miles Sanders here at 10.5 receiving yards, but I do like Foreman on the board. I get to some sits, and then we're going to get out of here. I see a lot of people jumping in now. That's why I wanted to bring in the picks up, but if you want some actual analysis behind my reasoning of taking 5 overs in this football game tonight, make it 6 with Foreman, who's not on the board, with Khalil looking doubtful, you can go back to around the 10-minute mark. RGQ with a question here. My RBs are Bijan, Cook, Monty, and Chuba Hubbard. Start 2. I have one flex. Should I put one of them in or a wide receiver listed above? I would play Bijan for sure. And I don't know if you just joined, but I talked about Bijan as a start. And listen, I've been in the Bijan Robinson bust group. It's a very small group. Fantasy community told me that he should have been the second, third running back off the board. I was not drinking the bats that everybody else was when it came to Bijan. The usage does blow my mind. The one carry inside the 5 is absolutely mind-boggling. One rushing touchdown, 2 catches for 8 yards over the last 3 games. One game with more than 14 carries came week 2. I don't know what Arthur Smith is smoking, but Arizona's top 10 in yards, rushing yards, 4th in yards per attempt, 3rd in fantasy points to running backs, 12 rushing touchdowns is 3 off the league high. And according to FTMBets.com and DVOA, they have the 3rd worst rush DVOA defense. So I am starting Bijan, and I would roll with 3 backs here. I think your running backs are probably better than your wide receivers. So I would go Bijan, James Cook, and Dave Montgomery. I have to start Montgomery. The fact that Montgomery had all that work, the last time Montgomery came back from that injury, he had 32 carries and 121 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. They just gave him all the work. I understand that there could be a setback. He takes a shot in the ribs. He's had a couple weeks off here. They had the bye. I think that it'd probably be like 60-40, maybe 70-30 in terms of the carries out of the backfield. But the goal line work should go to Montgomery. And I like Detroit to win the game. I like them to score some points. I think he'll have a rushing touchdown. I can't trust Chuba Hubbard. This isn't a good spot against the Bears, believe it or not. 3.3 yards per carry allowed. It's number 1 in all of football. A really good stuff rate. I'm just not in on Chuba. So I play the 3 running backs, and you put one of them in the flex, right? As you said here. Yeah, your other wide receivers are Dotson and Dell. So you don't have to start 2 of those wide receivers. You sit here also, flex one of them and then one of the wide receivers listed above. Yeah, that's probably the way that it would go. It's probably the way that it would go. I go Bijan, James Cook, Montgomery, and then I lean Dell here. To be honest with you, Dell, and if Lockett gets a full practice in Friday, but there could be a little bit of risk there with Lockett. Also, thoughts on James Cook and Bijan, thinking of trading for a better wide receiver. Heard Hubert is slowly working on. Yeah, you know what? I just wouldn't trust that. I wouldn't trust him being a main running back. I'm not buying it at all. And I think that it was because Miles Sanders was hurt, and you know, Miles Sanders is not going to be super efficient either, but the offensive line is not good. And Hubbard's been in this role before. You go back to last year when he was the starting running back. Just I'm just not impressed with 15 for 28 and you know, 19 for 88 was good, 16 for 58. Look at these matchups coming up for Carolina. After this week, they got Dallas, they got the Titans, they got the Bucks, they got the Saints, they got the Falcons. Those are all bottom 10 matchups for a running back. The Bucks, the second fewest fantasy points of running backs, the Saints, the fourth fewest, Atlanta, the fifth fewest. We know how good the Cowboys are. I would not feel good about rolling with Chuba Hubbard as your main running back at all. So I think that I would keep Bijan. I view Bijan as a buy low candidate because of everything that's happening. So you can get him a lot cheaper than the price on draft day. And he has the bye next week. So that's why I feel like maybe he could be had. And out of the bye, there's a couple tough spots in there at the Saints and the Bucks, but also come fantasy football playoff time, the matchups actually can't get better for a running back. Carolina, second most fantasy points allowed to running backs. The Colts, the fourth most fantasy points allowed to running backs. And then the Bears, who, again, they've allowed the eighth most fantasy points to running backs, but they have been good against, you know, at least eliminating yards per carry. I still think that there's a ceiling there for James Cook. It's just, he's a between the 20s type of runner. They clearly don't trust him near the goal line, right? Josh Allen's got a rushing touchdown in almost every game this season. James Cook has one game with a rushing touchdown, but he kind of makes up through the air. He hasn't done a whole lot over the last 2 weeks, but the fact that they go Latavius Murray inside the goal line or inside the five near the goal line, and that they sign Leonard Fournette, it doesn't make me like Leonard Fournette, but it makes me think that my thought process is kind of true in the fact that he's just a between the 20s type of runner and he doesn't have a lot of goal line work. So I have no problem moving on from James Cook. It's just a bad time to kind of sell him, because if you look at four of the last five fantasy games, it's sub 8 fantasy points in a half point setting. 3, 7, 17, great. He had a receiving touchdown, but then 7 in week 8 and then 5 in week 9. So maybe if Cook kind of has a good game this week against the Broncos, you can run on the Broncos. They're 7.5 point favorites. Maybe that will be an opportunity for you to sell high, because the Jets and then the Eagles and then the bye week 13. I think we're slow here and a little sluggish. So I'm going to just keep this board up for a second. If you really need wins, I think it's maybe you move off from some guys that are going to have a bye. Like week 13, James Cook, a bye. Like if you need a W come week 13, that's really tough. That's a tough pill to swallow. And maybe you feel like you lose a trade by acquiring somebody who has already had their bye, but yet it's still a healthy player. So look ahead at your schedule. I think that's very important before you make a trade. Take a look at the schedule. If you're off to a really good start, it's okay. You can do the opposite, right? You can pick on a team in the bottom of your standings that has some good players, but they need wins so bad that they're willing to lose a trade and trade a good player and try to acquire a couple other guys. Like I would be calling everyone about Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, all these players that are on bye this week. There's a lot of good players. You probably can't get them, but I would certainly make the call and see if they were available, especially if the owner was near the bottom. Arthur Smith is on something, because how do you run Bijan down the middle when you know his strength is? Yeah, Arthur Smith, I don't understand what's going on with him, man. Cordarrelle Patterson and Tyler Allgeier getting goal line carries, it blows my mind. Quincy Davis in the house. My starting wide receivers is Debo and Tank Titan Dalton. Tank tight ends are Dalton Schultz. I thought that was like a nickname for Tank Titan. Okay, you need two. Myers, Kincaid, Charbonnet. Okay, you're definitely playing Kincaid. I would play Debo. My dog is crying, you hear him. I would play Debo. It sounds like he's back. He's gonna play. I would play Debo, and I'd play Kincaid over Dalton Schultz. Okay, so you're going, okay, I got this. You got Debo and Tank. Those are your starting wide receivers. You got him in. Your tight end is Dalton Schultz. You got two flex. So you got to play two of these guys. I would go with Kincaid and, oh man. Is that Jacoby? Or is that Jacoby Myers? He's a sit for me. Zay Jones coming off the injury. I just don't know if I trust him against the Niners. Charbonnet, I don't know if I really trust him either. I would go Kincaid and Myers there. Myers is a sit, and we're gonna get to the sits, and then we're gonna get out of here. But that's where I would go for that one. let's get some sits. There's some big names on here, and we'll walk through these names together. And I'll just explain my reasoning behind it. Again, I encourage everybody to check out ftnfantasy.com for our rankings and our projections, and just understand that some of these players you may have to start this week. These are players that I would sit in week 10. Sam Howell, one of the top quarterbacks in fantasy, chucking a good part of the season, which you like to see from your fantasy quarterback. But I think Seattle's a tough place to play football. They're top 10 in fewest yards allowed to quarterbacks, 6.1 yards per attempt over the last 4 weeks, according to NFL.com, the third best mark in football. 27 sacks is what Seattle has on the season. That's top seven. And Sam Howell's been sacked 44 times. The next closest is Zach Wilson at 13. So I do believe that there's some better options out there than Sam Howell. Kyler Murray gets Atlanta. I'm excited about Kyler Murray. I hope that he balls out this week. I think he's more of a super flex start. You know, great. You stashed him. You held on to him. But let's not forget, he hasn't played a football game since week 14 last year. I think it's a little bit risky to roll him out there. How much will he run coming off the significant knee injury? His fantasy upside is really the big reason it's that high is because of his legs. Still a bad team around him. The Falcons have allowed the sixth fewest yards per game, top 10 in fewest yards allowed per attempt. So I know we may really want to start Kyler Murray. I have him as a top 12 quarterback, right at quarterback 12, but I think there are some better options out there. Check out ftnfantasy.com for the rankings and the projections. Jordan Love, you know, continues to finish around quarterback 12, quarterback 13. He's kind of sneaky on the ground. He does make up for it with his legs, but I'm just not starting this guy. Even in a super flex league, I would look for other options. A 59% completion rate, 6.6 yards per attempt. Over the last six games, he has six passing touchdowns and eight interceptions. Green Bay has 20 points or fewer in six straight games, 17, 13, and 20 on the road over the last three games. If you take away week one against the Bears, they're averaging 17 points per game. The Steelers are seventh in DVOA defense. I would not start Jordan Love, and I would not start Christian Watson. I don't even think you should hold on to Christian Watson anymore. If you're in a deep league, stash him. If you see somebody drop him and you were just off to a really good start, you can pick up and stash him if you don't love your wide receivers. He practiced in full this week. He's got green beside his name, according to Yahoo Sports, but it's a trap. I think it's a trap, people. He hasn't topped four fantasy points since week five. What are we even doing here with Christian Watson? Deshaun Watson's on this board as well. A lot of Cleveland and Baltimore players on this board. I would play Lamar Jackson. The past couple weeks have just been okay from him, but I do like the upside that he brings to the table. For Deshaun Watson against the Baltimore Ravens, 4.6 yards per attempt. It's the best mark in football. 60.1 quarterback completion percentage against. It's a top four mark in all of football. Baltimore is second in DVOA defense, second against the pass, third against the run. They've only allowed 262 yards per game. It's the second best mark. Only 170 passing yards per game. It's the second best mark. And sub 100 yards on the ground. Sub 100 rushing yards on the ground. And only 13 points per game allowed. Overall, it's the best mark in football. So I have Jerome Ford as a sit as well. He may go 20 for 60. He may do enough through the air to be a borderline RB2 or a flex play for you, but I would try to find other options. Kareem Hunt is stealing a lot of the work inside the red zone. He's got touchdowns in four straight games. And just as I mentioned, the yards per attempt and the rushing yards allowed, it's not a good spot for Jerome Ford, Deshaun Watson, or for Amari Cooper, the fifth fewest fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. Loved seeing the great game from Amari last week. Great to see. Like him moving forward. Just don't like him this week. 4.6 yards per attempt has me fading everybody in the Cleveland offense. And Gus Edwards against Cleveland. Their defense has been just as good as the Ravens. 5.4 yards per attempt. It's the second best mark. 55.4 completion percentage against. It is the best mark. So we could see Lamar struggle in this matchup. Cleveland, number one in DVOA defense, number one against the pass, number one against the run, 234 yards allowed per game. It's the best mark in football. 145 passing yards per game. It's the best mark in football. Also sub 100 yards allowed on the ground and just 17 points allowed per game. Right there with Baltimore, it's a top three mark. Gus Edwards is finding the end zone. He's scoring touchdowns. He's going to have to score a touchdown this week to have double-digit fantasy points in your lineup. He probably scores a rushing touchdown, but I don't think that we could just bank on that. I don't have him as a top 24 running back this week. Saquon Barkley is on this list, and I understand that you may have to start Saquon Barkley. He's one of the best running backs in football. He has a very, very high ceiling. It's tough to sit him, but I don't have him as a top 12 running back this week. If you have you may have a couple other options in a shallower league. You may have somebody else that you feel a little bit better about starting over Saquon Barkley. Check out ftmfantasy.com for the rankings and for the projections. But against the Cowboys in week one, he went 12 for 51. He scored 7.8 fantasy points. The hope is that he scores a touchdown this week and then he catches a few passes. But the Giants are averaging 11 points per game. They were shut out in week one against Dallas. They couldn't do anything against the Raiders last week. They have 155 yards per game. They're dead last in passing yards per game, in pass DVOA, rush DVOA. They're dead last. In a shallow league, you actually may have better options than Saquon Barkley, who's just going to run into a wall the entire game. Alexander Mattison, no Cam Akers. Still don't care about starting Alexander Mattison, who hasn't topped 50 rushing yards in a game since week four. He's getting all the touches, but he has zero rushing touchdowns. Again, the hope is he finds the end zone. He catches a couple passes for you. But Joshua Dobbs is now the running back in Minnesota. I would sit Alexander Mattison. How about Davante Adams? How could you sit Davante Adams? Well, he does have a matchup against the Jets. He's got one game this season with 100 receiving yards. He hasn't had double-digit fantasy points since week four. He's got 14 targets over the last 2 weeks. It's great. Ah, he only has five catches out of those 14 targets for 45 receiving yards. He's got two games with a touchdown. The ceiling is extremely high. Again, you may have to start this guy, but I think there's a good 15 to 17 wide receivers that I would play over him. And just because the coaching change happened doesn't mean that Davante Adams is just going to get the ball. Aiden O'Connell is not him. And Jacoby Myers, three catches in his last two games. He has to deal with Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed on Adams, Aiden O'Connell. We've seen the Jets make Hurts, Mahomes, Allen look silly. I don't think Herbert was just awesome last week. It was really the Chargers defense that was great. So I would be looking for other options than Jacoby Myers. And honestly, Davante Adams, if you can, some other options as well. Also on this list, we talked about Amari Cooper. How about Zay Flowers? Cleveland allowing the second fewest fantasy points to wide receivers, under 10 fantasy points in seven of Zay Flowers' last eight games. Cleveland, the number one pass DVOA defense. They are top three in eliminating passing yards, yards, fantasy points to quarterbacks, to wide receivers, yards per attempt, and the number one quarterback completion percentage against two opposing quarterbacks. So that's why I would sit Zay Flowers. As for Kyle Pitts, I mean, I thought he'd be a little bit better with Taylor Heineke. Five targets, four grabs, 56 receiving yards. That's okay for the tight end position. But ultimately, Arizona's been okay against tight ends. Seventh fewest fantasy points allowed. And Jonnu Smith last week had more targets, more catches, had 100 yards, and scored a touchdown. So that's why I would go in another way. Would you start Adam Thielen? Absolutely. I would start Adam Thielen. I would start Adam Thielen over Davante Adams. So yes, I would. Derek Knowles in the house. I would play. Try to bring up your comment here, but it's just taking a little bit on StreamYard. I would start Adam Thielen if you're still hanging out with us. Adam Thielen is a wide receiver too for me this week, and I'll share the projections that we have for Adam Thielen. By the way, I am the lowest on Davante Adams. We have Higgins, Olave, Hopkins, Garrett Wilson, Michael Pittman, Adam Thielen, Evans, Ayuk as guys that we have for more fantasy points. But for me, I would play DK Metcalf over Adams. I'd play Terry McLaurin. I'd play Deontay Johnson, Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, Tank Dell, Chris Godwin, Deebo Samuel. I would play all of those guys over Davante Adams this week. We have Adam Thielen as a top 10 wide receiver in our projections, Derek. So we're playing him, and I think that's it. I believe our GQ's got one last thoughts here on Lamar. I don't know how people are ranking him quarterback 3 and 5. Last game's been bad. Edwards stealing all his points. Couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more on the Lamar Jackson thought. Honestly, I just can't put him on the sit list because of the ceiling. And he did have 28 fantasy points against Cleveland earlier in the season. He had a couple touchdowns. He didn't throw for a lot of yards. He had a couple touchdowns. I know our projections are Allen, Burrow, Lamar, Herbert, Dak, T-Law, Goff, Howell, Purdy, Stroud, Geno, Baker, and then Kyler. But for me personally, I would go Allen, Burrow, Herbert, Dak, Goff, and then I would go Lamar. So Lamar is outside of my top five. I don't know if I feel comfortable playing, you know, Howell or Purdy or Stroud or Geno over him, but wouldn't be shocked if any of those guys did finish ahead of Lamar Jackson this week. I tell you what, man, that Cleveland and Baltimore game, I like the under 38.5, and I like it a lot just because of some of the statistics that I gave earlier. And Baltimore and Cleveland are one or two in like almost every single statistic on the defensive side of the football. So that's kind of where I'm at. Jacob, one question here, and then we're going to bounce. Jacob Ander on our YouTube page says, unfortunately, due to buys, I got to start Miles Sanders or Tajay Spears. Ooh. Man, I may go Miles there. Let me see about Spears. Against the Bucks. Oh, man. I think I would go Miles, man. I really do. I think I would go Miles Sanders. I like his receiving yard prop. I think that seeing him get some run in the second half of the game, I think Chuba's going to struggle again. So I would lean with Miles Sanders there in that spot. And they're probably just going to do the same thing for you, like 5 or 6 fantasy points. Had 7 catches over the last 2 games for Tajay Spears, but only has 13 receiving yards, and he only has 8 carries over the last 2. I think we could get more attempts, carries plus targets for Miles Sanders this week on the short week. And Chuba may be struggling to run the rock. Maybe see a little bit more Miles there. So that's where I'm at. Jacob, I'd lean with that one. And it sounds like you have to start a running back. I would maybe, if I could, look at a Kadarius Hodge, if you could, for a wide receiver, maybe that you can plug in if there's no Drake London again. Or Kyle Phillips is kind of on my list as like a sneaky little play this week. The past couple weeks have been decent, and you can throw in the Bucks. So if you don't have to start a running back, I would try to take a wide receiver with a higher ceiling. But if you have to start one of those running backs, I would lean with Miles Sanders. I'm probably alone in that thinking, but I just have a feeling he's going to catch 2 or 3 passes tonight. And you never know. He could be the goal line back there over Chuba Hubbard. It's not a lock that Chuba is the RB1. I don't care about the reports. I see it on the field, and he's not super efficient. So they could make that switch. You have a dilemma, Gus Edwards and Gibbs. I would go Gibbs, Craig. I would go Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't know if you're just jumping in. I talked about Gus Edwards here. He's on the board as a sit. He is the goal line back. He could score a touchdown, which is definitely, you know, very, very significant. I think he's racked up a lot of fantasy points because of the usage that he's had near the goal line. But I'll go back to Cleveland here for a second. 5.4 yards per attempt. It's the second best mark. 54% completion percentage to quarterbacks. It's the best mark. They're number one against the run, number one against the pass, number one in DVOA. Number one in passing yards allowed, 145, sub 100 on the ground, just 17 points allowed. It is a bit of a dilemma that you have, but, you know, the guy to score the touchdown would be Gus, but, man, I go back to Cleveland, 15 for 48. He had 5 fantasy points. Like, that's the kind of day that I think he'll have. And he's had a couple games like that, 12 for 48, 16 for 41, 16 for 64, but he's scoring touchdowns. He's got a touchdown in 3 straight games and 6 over that span. But I think that I would lean with Gibbs because you never know. Could be a setback for Montgomery. Maybe Montgomery's shown them, or maybe Gibbs has shown them enough over the past couple weeks, right? 26 for a buck 52. He's got touchdowns. Montgomery coming back, I expect him to be the lead. I expect Montgomery to be the lead. I would start Montgomery over Gibbs. I expect him to be the goal line back. But the fact is he's still been catching some passes, and I think he could maybe do enough in the receiving yard game to help you out. Like the 15 targets and the 14 grabs over the last 2 weeks is significant, and Montgomery doesn't catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. So if you look at the first couple games of the season, you know, 2 for 18, 7 for 39, 4 for 11. So he could maybe get 3 or 4 catches for 30-ish yards, and maybe he gets 8 to 9 carries and finishes like another 30 yards there. I just think the ceiling is a little bit higher with Jahmyr Gibbs against the Chargers. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. We've gone too long. Good luck. Any questions, hit me up at Chris Meaney on the Twitter machine, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. Leave the comment inside the YouTube question area, and I'll circle back as well. Good luck with all your picks, and we'll be back tomorrow. We'll have some clearer practice reports, and we'll talk about some start and sits, and we'll have some picks against the spread and some props heading into the weekend as well. Good luck with everything, and we will talk to you guys soon.